Reminiscences of Furness Iron Mines interview with Dick Waring by James Walton, the 26th of 11, 1987, for the Cumbria Community Trust Mines History Society, archive number A26.
But you know, as we start as a lad, like when you start with the gold medal picking.
Before we get on to that, Dick, could I ask you what year you were born in?
1912. Yeah. Stayed at Pitts when I was 13.
You'd go to
Runhead.
One of the schools in Dalton is the school, right?
Yes, it's Green School.
Green School?
Green School, Mr. Lancaster. Got in last year. Mr. Brewer.
Were you born in Dalton?
Yes, Middle Street.
Daltonian born.
16,
And you leave school then at 13, was it?
13, we allowed to, you see. If you got a job, you could go, you see. Well, I got a job at one of it all. Lad's been there, you know, and the old man was a miner and all. I went to the left school and I got a job there, metal pick, that was all gold metal pick. That's where you'd be mining stacks.
Yeah.
You know, you pit top, you have a pit top. Your bogus goes up, you run your cage goes up, you run your bogey up your cage, then you run your Olympic top and put your metal down this chute, tip your metal down the chute out of the bogey. There's lads in the wagon at the bottom, they're picking all the muck, all the bits of clay and everything out of the metal, so you clean it.
Well, as it comes down the chute?
They stand back till it's all emptied out, you see. So your bogey comes out the pit.
Yeah.
Well, you've got what they call the landing, that's the landing of the bottom. And then you've got a pit top built up, you see, so that your cage goes further up. And goes onto the top, and then you run your bogey off up there, and you run into these whichever wagon you're taking it to, you see, whatever grade of ore you've got to take it to.
This is a railway wagon you're talking about?
No, no, your bogey.
Oh.
The bogey. We do some call wagons, some call them bogeys, you see. But the railway wagon's underneath.
Yeah.
So you tip it that your bogey down this chute, and the metal goes down, and as soon as you've emptied it, you see this. Three lads in the wagon, and they're picking all the muck out.
They're actually in the wagon?
They're in the wagon, yes. Well, you see, the chute's only about, well, it's about halfway, not a big, long wagon, you know, and you'll get each end, you see, when they come through his bogey. Shouts tip up, see, and then you shout when you're right. So you just stand to one side and it tips it down. See, and then you pick all the muck or the clay, whatever's in this stone, in the metal, you see. Well, that's where you start, and then you go from there, go from there onto the pit top. And that's where you. Well, as I say, you know, on the level, the ground level, there's gates into your shaft. Your shaft that goes down the mine.
Yes.
Well, there's gates way into there. Well, that's where the men get on the cage there to go down the mine.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they couldn't get off there to get changed, but. Then you've got your pit top, which is another 35 feet further up. Well, that's when your cage goes up there, you see, onto the pit top, and the engine driver, the winding driver down below, he lifts it and he has a marking on his disc, you know.
Yeah.
And he drops it, and then he drops it on some, what they call snacks.
The top door's closed.
Snacks, two snacks.
Oh.
That cage comes onto that. Well, then you pull your bogey up, you see. And when you pull your bogey off, there's a man this side, he's shoving empty on to send back again. So you double side.
Oh, yes, I see.
So there's one coming up, one going down. Empty going down, full coming up. The other time. There's a lad each, a chap each end, that's pulling them on and taking them off. You see? That's what they call. You go top handing. That's from out of your wagon, you go top handing. Now from top handing, you can't go down the pit till you're 16. You go down the pit, and you know the shaft foot, of course you won't know the shaft foot.
No.
That's about, I don't know, I just started to get now, it's about 600-700 feet, wasn't it, Joe?
Yeah.
But you go down the bottom of there, from the pit top, next job you do, and you shove the bogies on. And then miners bring the bogies down, well, there's a bogey in each mine, right, in each department, there's a board here. You need companies, see, what they call companies.
Yes.
And the company might have three men up a rise. Now, what I mean by a rise, you're on the ground, you're on the, not the ground level, the pit level at the bottom, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the depth of the pit. Well, you were on that, you see, and you're caging. If you really want a cage, then you're either built for them to take it up. Yeah. They bring empty down, you pull empty off, well, then there's bogey there to take it back. See, but yes. When you were bogey, you're in the company, what they call a company. See, there's one, six companies, seven companies. A company, B company, all different companies you see all around the pit. It's like a beehive, if you will, you know what I mean? Different roads goes up. But you also have rises. Well, I'll explain to you what I mean, Jim. Now, when you go to find ore, looking for ore, they drilling for ore, to find ore.
Yeah.
See? Well, when they find it, they find the bed. See? Now, they drill that there, and they drill right down that bed of ore until they find the bottom of it. See, once the ore goes off the drills, when they're drilling it, you know, with the drills, well, once they find that the ore has gone off, they've got the depth. See, now, they've got the depth of what ore there is.
Yeah.
So, it's ore lays like a saucer. It's like a saucer is ore.
Oh, yes.
It's a bed of ore. It's like a saucer, of course, something bigger than others, you see. So when they get that depth, they start sinking the shaft. But they don't sink it there. They've got to find a place, solid rock. You've got to sink your shaft in solid rock.
Yeah.
If you didn't, well, it would be collapsed, wouldn't it?
Oh,
see, it's 900 feet down, it would collapse. See, it wouldn't hold it.
It must have been quite a job then, sinking a mine shaft, mustn't it?
Oh, no, they used to do them like the bad, but we didn't do them in a day. It used to take them a long while, like.
Yeah.
Oh, it would take them perhaps 8 or 9 months to find a bed of ore, like, you know, strike the ore.
Mm.
But that's how it worked, like it was in like a saucer, you see?
Yeah.
And what you do, you found your shaft for your solid rock, see, to go down. Well, you got that, you dug your depth of what your drill had gone down to bottom your ore. See, now you knew you were at the bottom of that ore, and that depth, see, you knew you were bottom. So what you had to do, you'd start boring out and driving roads through rock till you come to the ore. Now you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you do first, you drive the main roads at bottom, which is the old rock. It's old rock, so there's rocky stuff when you drive it. So you get what you think is the place that your ore is about. So what do you do? You see, you've got to bring that ore from the top.
Oh.
See what I mean?
Yes.
You see, if it's, say you're 900 foot down to the bottom of your shaft, well, your ore might be anywhere 45, 50 foot further up top of it.
Mm.
So what you do, you put what they call a rises up. So you put a rise up. You put two ores in. A ladder way up at men, and you walk up there. That's when you get to your. Now you take your first layer of ore off. You've got the ore up there when you land up there. Well, you take it off anywhere from 8 to 9 foot props, or gold props. You could have all that wood because it's all iron ore, you see, then. It's loose. Well, you drive.
Easy to get out, isn't it? Easy to get out. Once you've got to it,
well, no, you've got to drill it there, you've got to bull it, what they call bulls, your big iron bulls, about 3 foot.
Right.
And you know, the shape, you know, like a point like that.
Yeah.
You knock them in with big hammer.
Oh.
See, you double that hammer you lay them with.
Yeah.
See, when you got your forebrush was 8 foot, 7 foot 6. Up that way, see, and 8 foot, that was your lump of metal you had to work out.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know how far it went back, like, till it run out.
Mm-hmm.
See that there? But then when that run out, what you used to do, you used to go by the wall, build it. Well, you know, you used to get trees, you know, the trees, send them down, and they used to make a pillar, you know, like, cross, you know, like a pillar. So that it got that, it didn't come in, that. They'd held that up.
Yeah.
Well, you broke out here to get another tomorrow. Now, all that height, that used to be 9 foot, all that nine foot where you broke out at, up this rise, you get me?
Yes.
You've got up this rise, and you've got the top of the metal. So when you get there, this 9 foot, well, you've got to rub all that metal all right round, yes. Off. You see?
Yes.
As soon as you've done that, you put your pillars in. You've got to have a pillar of wood in, because you're coming under again, Jim, see?
Yeah.
Coming under there, for your next, so I said, like a saucer, you see, is your ore. Well, you've took that much off, just roughly. Took that much off your first rich spot, but all it's got to be wood up right round, where you come, took it from, with these trees. Now, you come underneath. You see? Well, when you come underneath, all you've got on top is the wood you've put in above you.
Yes.
And all your metals round here again, that's got to be taken off. And you keep coming down the rise till you get to the bottom, and then you sink again, and then you do the same similar again till you get to the bottom of the metal.
So there's a lot of wood goes in
there. Oh, yes. Millions and billions of pounds of wood wasted, left in your destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all that'll rot away.
Yeah.
It'll all rot away in time. And
well, I did just presses it cell down for compressed paper.
Yeah.
You see, yeah. And if you go back, like, sometimes you get air shafts, what they call air roads. You've got to keep air road. You've got to keep a road down for air. So you'd circle it if you didn't. But you've got to sink a shaft, another shaft down. They call it air shaft.
Yeah.
See? Well, that shaft brings in the air. And it gives you hair at the bottom in this bit. But you suffocated it in that air wasn't coming in. See? You've got to have two shafts, one for your hair, and one for the men to go down and work and come up and that. And that's how they work it. Then as soon as you've got all your metal rubbed off that height altogether, you've got to drop down again. And they're coming down in 9 foots all the time. Understand what I mean?
Mm.
And then of course when you get to the bottom, it's got rubbed out, it's all finished, you see, they've got all the bed.
Yeah.
But there's some, as I said, now we were at Ronhead, we've left full 9 foot drifts of solid iron ore. Because the counter tide weren't allowed to go no further. Tide breaking in.
Oh, yes.
And they done, you know, the pit was there, and you done, Nigel pit, we've left all full. That's going drifts, full drifts of metal. Doesn't go no further. Which have been drawn by rats, if it's got in. Tide. Then go. You'd a mark and you weren't allowed to go past it yet.
Yeah. And there's 16-year-old lads doing that, were they? They'll underground.
And they're on 16-year-olds. Well, they usually happen to be 2 or 3 years before you got in the company. You know what they call the company? That's a company that's making. Get in the ore, you're making money then.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's as high as you can go, like, as a mine, you know. So there's no shot fires or anything like that down there. Everybody did, you know. Some mines, it's Cumberland. We went up Cumberland. Now they're shot firers. See, now we used to do our own down at Ronhead. We'd pull our holes, charge them, you know. We sticks of gelatinite and put. What's going on? No. And you'd have three foot was at least. Fuse, you'd have 3 foot at least, that's the least you could have.
Yeah.
You end up no less on that, when you know. Of course, it might have been a bit handy to get out the road, you see.
Mm.
But you used to bowl these, you see, also, and the bowl was, like I said, shaped like that, you see. Like come to a point, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there, then come to a point. Well, when you're at that point in, you see, it's in there. Well, that caused, when your chairs dip with your gelatinite, you know, but you get your cap, clean your cap, and then shove it into your jelly, like that, with your fuse on, nip it up, and then you shove that in, and then you stem it up with clay. Stick and stem it all up with clay, you see. Now you get that, you should charge them all up. Now, drill, as we call it, it was a bear, yeah, not with your hammer. Well, it'd been pointed, when the holes blasted, you know, it was poof, it didn't make it fly.
Mm.
Yeah. It'd been a point, you see, you used to woof, just lift it out.
Yeah.
Lift it out like that. It might be bits fly, like, you know, you get out of the road, it wouldn't admit if it killed you. So you have to get out of the road, but you know, actually, it just woofed it out and just tipped it over. You used to have what you call a solar, a spile, you used to have one that, you know, then you used to have one that's better, presumably, don't you see, when it dropped down.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when you were metal picking, what sort of pay did you get for doing that?
I think I got about three or thrips a week. We only got 15 bucks for top handing.
Yeah.
I was only making 32 and 9 when I got married. Down pit, line or minor. Yeah, 32 and 9, that was our wage, wasn't it?
33
and 9, was it? That was our wage, minors.
And how many, what sort of hours did they work at the metal
pit? Well, he used to make it according to the 6 till 2, 2 till 10, 10 till 6, three shifts.
Did they work overnight?
Oh yes, three shifts.
Even night shifts.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah,
they did any bargains, yeah. Three shifts, your old shifts, like, you know. Yeah. And they worked. In them days they did.
Must have been a pretty unpleasant spot of yours, wasn't
it? No, I don't know. It was, I just enjoyed it. I mean, and you never give it a thought about all the lights and that was a boogie, you know, you're down there, you didn't it?
No, I mean metal picking for the lads who just started.
Oh no, I wasn't bad enough, was it? I was 3 years back in, you know, and a ball would be like, and perhaps it would be, in every half hour come to your shoot, yeah, bags of time to clean it, right, and sit down and have a dope or a smoke.
Yeah.
See, yeah. Because there used to be about four shoots and four places for wagons to go in, you see,
yeah.
Shunt them into. So them was all working at once, you see, so there was plenty of time. First job, they put me down into the washer. That's the washer, that's a department away from the pit. Well, they take the stuff and it's what they call, it's like mopey stuff. But there's oil in it. So you take it to this washer and put it on the conveyor belt and you used to go right through this washer. You know, and there used to be lads each side of this big belt, picking muck off, cleaning it. That was the worst job ever.
Cold.
Eh?
Cold.
Oh, you were standing there, water running down your neck and water. It was water has around the belt, you see. Yeah. And you were standing inside the belt. Yeah. Oh, terrible job was that. Ooh, was that. Anyway, I wasn't there long, so I got sent back up to put me on the pit top, like, doing the pit top in my, you know, cage, what they call caging. Right up there, you were caging. All you did was pull your full enough and put your emptying on. But once you got top handing, they call top handing, you had to run them out, you see. But when, before the war, we were there and we were tipping out or down, there was no sales, you know, then. And they tipped deep down, then there was thousands and thousands of tons of metal tipped down and running on the top. You had all that great worst at it. Filled it all up and sent it all away, but where I said it, so much of it is we went into.
Well, they dug out all and they couldn't sell it, so.
Couldn't sell it, so they tip it down, you see.
Down the.
No, they run off the pit top, tip it down on a big field, on a big lump field. They just tipped it down on a massive field, it would have finished. Thousands and thousands of tons of iron ore there. Well, when Boss said it, they got about 16 men. Working in there with conveyors, filling it all up, see if it works.
And there were no trade unions then when you started?
Oh, yeah, they were strict on it there.
Were they?
Oof, were they, yeah. Very strict. Very so, yeah.
I remember just somebody telling me about them going on strike now.
No, did you ever know old Jim Price?
Yes.
Yeah, old Jim Price was the head man of the union.
Was he?
Well, yeah, told his father. He was to work at school. Eh? Fred Price's father. He was their man.
Oh.
Secretary of the miners' union. Yeah, and once you went down the pit, you had to join the union. But you didn't go down, it was so. Yeah. They pay threats a week. It was threats a week. Yeah. Now, when they transferred us to you in the war, you know, well, Nigel worked out. Yeah. So they transferred us up to Cumbria, Egremont. Now, that's different working altogether, Sayonara. But it's solid. It's like a rock, you know. You know what I mean? You couldn't knock a drill in it, you've got to bore it with machines. And they bore it up back. You see? They shoot it down like quarry. See? You shoot it down, you put your rolls up like that, then you light your rolls and go out. Well, when you come back, there's a brute hole, you can't see top. Brought all the stuff down, you see? All loose.
Yeah.
That's how I got knocked up there, you know. Right there in hospital a long while.
What do you mean you got knocked?
Oh, spot could mean on this. Packer, there was a
level of mammalian right there in hospital.
You see, what they'd done, to drill the rolls, you see. Well, you're supposed to say that's your roof there, you see, Jim.
Yeah.
You're supposed to put your drills in that way. So you're drilling away from where you're going to work under.
Mm.
Well, soon they've been put them straight up. See, we were doing, well, we stayed at work. You know, we've got one or two bows out. Of course, the stuff's down for you when you go. See, each ship you have to blast before they went off. So the stuff was there for them to come into. We come in through there, but I'd fill them out for about an hour. I was lucky, really, because being this lad, Dick Todd, they call the two Dicks. Well, what there was two men filling, three men, but the odd man used to take his turn running the bogies away. There, you know, different burden that system now was all together. Two of you would fill, and you would take the bogey. Now, he'd come back, well, he'd fill, and the other one would take a bogey. So me and my mate would fill this bogey. This Dick Todd, he couldn't use it, you know, this way he spared like shoving his groom. So I said, come on, Dick, get this side of the style of that, I can work in the hand. He got killed. And he got hit on death, but he died in hospital, only did about a couple of hours and they got to the hospital. Got him right up in the middle of the head. Just to change, I had to change his over, had a gun, just that he just there. Hit, you see.
No helmets.
And lads dragged me out. What they call the rope lads. They heard it. They come and dragged me out. Rope lads. Don't come in and finish.
You're half buried then, were you?
No, it just knocked me, you see. Hit me in the back. Knocked us. I couldn't get up, I couldn't get up. Couldn't feel these, I was dead. I didn't know about Dick, but lads had got Dick before me, Dick Todd. He come from Megamont. Well, they got him out, she see out of it, then come and took me out. Then he all just come and poof. But never found our court. I thought he might have been caught at all. Yes, never found it. Yeah.
How did he go on, as regards to sick pay or something?
Well, you got PLI, yes. Yeah, you throw your unions and that, all that, you know. You got union money, you know. Got allowance off your union when you're sick and that.
You're talking now about during the war, are you?
Yeah, that was during the war. During and they transferred us to Cumberland, yeah.
Yeah, but say down at Roundhead.
Roundhead, we just got the same, got for unions. If you went off sick, you got so much off your union. And you got, you paid Lord George, you know, some of what they call Lord George was called it then.
Yeah.
Sick benefits for that. So it was all was going then.
And did you get paid every week down there, up around there?
Yes, I.
I've heard stories about people, miners being paid in the pubs and this sort of thing.
No, I'll tell you what you've heard. It used to happen for Britannia, though. It was a regular spot for it. You see, the leading man in a company, if you were in number 3 company or 4 company, whatever it is, and you're the leading miner, he goes and he gets all the money. Now he's got to pay his company out. they've got four men in his company, he has to pay them out. So what they used to do, well, they used to, I know they used to do it, Britannia, they'd come home from work, you see, all together, and they'd go in Britain, share the, pay the wages out. Somebody did, I put them out. But you'd say, yeah, somebody put them out, yeah. But that didn't happen in our time. In our time, you got paid, like, you know, through the office.
Yeah.
But that's how it used to work.
Yes.
One man got it. The leading man of the, what's it called, he got it. And he had to pay the rest of them out.
Well, I've heard of Mr. Nebo. He was a mine captain, wasn't he?
Oh, well, he was, tell you, he was a mine captain, tell you, he had it clear, you know, Eric Cleary.
Any relation to Gil?
Billy's uncle.
His uncle. His father's brother.
Eh?
His father's brother.
Yes. He was a foreman. Boss. And pit. That's what the Euros call him now. Tommy Ebourne.
Yeah.
Tommy Ebourne was the head man at Newton, wasn't he?
That's right.
Tommy Ebourne. Well, a chap called Frank Sands was our head man. That's a name. Never come out. He was in the office. He was office man. He was head man for old Pittenberg. Yeah, he was Frank Simons. I tell you who took it over after Frank Simons. You may have remember him. You dealt with him. Charlie Severs. Severs is, you know Severs is. Well, he took over after that big house there. You know,
yeah.
Right at your. This is what then. That was Charlie Severs. He took over after Frank Simons. Gary Cleary, he was one of Pitt's foremen. He had one of his ships, he was down Pitt. And he used to have a boss on top. Cleary was ours, Eric was our boss. Another chap called Jack Newton, another one.
Yeah. Because you'd have to walk to work in those days.
Eh?
You'd have to walk it to work in those days.
Yeah, yeah. There was no buses then, no. No, you couldn't afford a bike.
So, well, you'd have to leave home, if you were starting at 6 o'clock, you'd have to leave home about 5 of them, would you?
Oh, before that?
Before that.
Well, you have to go there, you've got to get changed, haven't you, to go down the pit. You can't come home when you're in iron ore mines thing.
No, that's true.
There's a big change house there, you know.
Yeah.
You go in there, and when you come out of the pit, you used to go take your dirty clothes off, spot there to put them, then you used to go through again and then get bath. There was a big bath. Not, or, you know, just big wooden tubs. You bathed in. Oh no, you couldn't come home like that. You tried out. So that was, you had to go there and change your clothes before you went down pit.
Yeah.
You used to have to leave home about, well, somewhere around about 20 minutes. I think it was past 4 we used to get up to school.
Not many would do that today, is it?
Yeah.
Not many would do that
what?
Today.
Who cares now? Yeah, no. Remember that big show, 1940?
Yes.
Me and our Bill lived over here. We set off on Monday morning, it's snowing. We were walking the way up, we were struggling we had to get up. We went up top of Myrtle Terrace. Well, you know where your dad lived, and Mum,
yeah.
In them houses. Well, across that used to be Oaks Field. There used to be a field there, and all the houses across from where Dad and Mum lived. Your Mum and Dad lived up there, didn't you?
Up where? Myrtle
Towers? No, a bit Three Fingers there, going to where's Ascot.
No, no.
Well, I thought they did.
Well, my Mum and Dad lived on Tudor Square.
I know they lived on
Tudor Square. And then they moved from Tudor Square down to Little Fields.
Well, I thought they lived up there.
No.
Well, anyway, you know what I mean, don't you?
Where you go to Romney Park.
Romney Park?
Yes.
Well, that was, one was Dalton, Dalton Cassie's football, Dalton, what town, what town, what ball? Church of Christ football team was that side, football field. And that was on the field, a wall right up, all of us. Well, this is true, that's what I said to you, me and our people were going. The walking door was so thick. Ooh, there was so much snow in 1940. You heard about it, didn't you?
I remember.
We were walking up there.
I remember it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be walking. our mill was behind me, and I was talking away. I said, I said, we'll never make it. And all I said, we'll get to go back. And the fountain's gone. And we'd be walking on this wall. And he'd got off it, he'd gone down. Yeah. We're dead. Yeah. That's how it was. Well, there was a kind of three fingers, you know, when they go turn to Alaska. There was those, it was it Wharton's pop care was there. We buried it. Buried, yeah. Yeah, and when they got to it, somebody'd been at it, there's no big pop left. There's got a big pop.
So slow that was it.
Oh, I was traveled out that way. Rain, snow, blow, yet.
You must have been wet through sometimes when you got there.
Oh, yes, but what I mean, that's what I say, when you got there, this change house.
Yes.
See, big, steep house about that wide. Running right through. Well, you suppose it goes on when you come out like those, right? It's nothing else, but a pit. Same as if you're in a hot spot, working hot spot. Down pit. You come out, you're wet through, you sweat. You'd see, they put them on here and there was a chap in the change house looking after all that, like pretty close to driving that. In the change house, when you went, if you were in the hot spot, he used to know and he'd come after you got washed and changed and when he could put your clothes over these pipes. You see your clothes to the side, and then you take it up and go inside. So they were all right for you going back next morning, right, they were dry.
Mm.
Yeah.
But sounds a bit more civilised than I'd imagined it.
Eh?
It sounds a bit more civilised than I'd imagined it.
Oh, I was quite happy down there. I was. Mind you, it's funny you never thought about, as I said, the land of tons and thousands of stuff above your head. You know.
That's right.
You never thought nothing, it's funny you never thought nothing about, you know. Oh. No.
I don't think I can do it, Dick. I'm a bit claustrophobic.
But you wouldn't think so, Jim. But it's funny when you get down there. It just goes. It's like if you're working in main streets, because the main roads is all lit up with electric lights, you know.
Yes.
Just the main roads, and then you a ton of candles after that. Number clear, a ton of candles looking. I bet you know him and all. Tough guy with him. Did you ever know a tough guy with him?
Yes.
He used to grab that there. He got killed, didn't he? Down.
I knew it.
Well, he come to work there. He go and have a ship. He go down Pit Morgan. This was when Morris had it. Oh, he had glasses on, you know. And the road was when he was soaking, man. You won't use splash of them, you know. And then I come down to my Morgan. I said, which did from me, he stopped. And I said, what's to do? John was in, John Bittle, we call him Jack. So what's to do? I said, bloody candle's gone out, but you should put your pipe sticking candle on front of your bogey, you see, with clay. I said, it doesn't. He said, did I have a glass? All the glasses got buckled off water. See, he's very glad he never thought about that. That was all red hour, iron up with his glasses. His candle's still burning, but he thought his candle had gone out. Yeah. I say, but it was lost down there.
Yeah.
I was there when, I don't know, Dick Dunkley, you know Dick Dunkley, got killed down there. I was there when he got done. I was there when Johnny Murphy from Ascombe, he fell halfway down the shaft, killed his cell at the bottom, in the sun. Yeah, but he'd done, he'd got off the cage, you see. But nobody could prove it. And what a job he'd done, you see, he'd been up on one of the ice further up, as I say, come down in ice.
Yeah.
You see, well, sometimes they got off on that ice, you see, it's worth it. Well, somebody's been on that ice for some purpose or other. He's had the cage, you see. He's got off to do what he was going to do. He's done it. You see, he just took it for granted. The bloody cage was there, they took it away. So he stepped down and right down shaft to the bottom, found him dead. He sunk. Johnny Murphy. That was neglect, but they couldn't prove nothing. See, it was took it away. Couldn't prove nothing. Used a sump, that sump, you know, that was where all the water then behind in the rock Geddes, so drilled out, it'd been pumps in there, made that water out all the time. See? So we know you do wear it, but...
A lot of trouble in the water in the advance, isn't it?
Ah, yes. Mm.
And you've got some fine forms kicked.
Here? Because when, as I say, that was only your bottom. That's where you, you're running all your bogies in and out of. Your rock, solid rock spot, like, you know, on the main road. See, that's where it and water come to. Because when you've got to be rises, it was dry up there, some of them used to be red hot places. Ooh, red hot here. Yeah, you used to work a bit and have to come out. So, I thought, yeah, see, it's, with the air shot, it's just been a corner, but the air can't get to it, you see.
Yeah.
Pull it off. You know, with the lot, and some number six were going, oh, terrible. It was that time.
So once you got down the shaft, you're down there for your four shifts, like
oh,
that. Welcome
to the No, no, no. No. I'm going to do your business, I'll go and find some corner somewhere. You know, I'm wood, tell wood.
Yeah.
I never come out. Unless you were bad, that was something. Didn't come out.
They used to have a signalling system on the gallery, didn't
they? Oh, ah, yes. Yes, oh, two signals. The man was coming out was 4 and 2, usually. And if it's just a plain bogey ring 3, it'll lift it up, you see. But if it's 4 and 2, they knew then there was a man on. You see, so they come up with a bogey and you come up like fast. But when they come with a man on, with men on, he comes medium slow, you know, men on. They didn't protect the wind, so he come up shaft. See, with the bogeys on, they used to ring 3. When you're on 3, you know you had a man on. See, and if you're in 4 and 2, you know, no, 3, if you're on 3, there's a bogey on. If you're 4 and 2, there's a man on. But they used to have people on different heights and all, you know. You used to ring 5 and 1 for such height, and 5 and 6 for another height. You see, that's so they know where to send the cage to. See, with men on.
It must have been a tricky job, though, for the chap up the top to know exactly where to
send the cage. Oh, it's now you got to be used to it, though. You ring that bell, the bell rings. Well, he rings 5 and 2, he just knows it's there. Number 6 is going to, you know.
Yeah.
Number 7, I come to him like now, you know. That was a rough job, though, up top. Rough a job and down pit. Didn't like so. That we could have no weathers. No covering on that top. You have to run all the bogies and fetch empties and all that. Soaking wet through, you see, soaking wet through. You had to work 8 hours like that. Yeah. And you used to have your lunch up on the pit top and all, you weren't allowed to go down over it. Oh, you just jump on the pit top and have your lunch.
How long did you get for your lunch?
20 minutes.
30 minutes?
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Oh, right, yeah. So good for lunch. And when you're changing over, there's one cage of men going down, another coming up. See, they're coming up, there's another cage going down to take the spots. So it's no time. And they send the wood down. All the pitfalls, you see, the big head trees. And they go down the cage, see the two big iron lids and tops. Well, they used to open up like that, you see. Well, they used to put the standard, these big trees. In the cage, put the chains on and they send the wood down. See, that's what the windy place up, you see. Because when you're up top, as I say, it's all loose then, there's no rock. You know, there might be clay or something like the big stones. Well, you have to wood it. Put your course of wood in. See, 2 8-foot forks like that, a 9-foot entry that way. Then you step up with spiles over top, you see. Cover it so that anything couldn't blow flat, you know, so it wouldn't be. Spile it over top, seemed like you were closed in. And then you used to drive another 3 foot, 3 foot six or 3 foot, then put another course of wood in. See, 2 props and a head tree over, and spile that. See, so that nothing come down in on your head. Unless someone come and drop the head tree, isn't it? And it's there. We used to have spots come in, you know.
Yeah.
We used to get warning.
Yeah.
Funny, it used to start dribbling. It's funny, you couldn't see where it was coming from, you could hear it. is dribbling. You have to get out there. If you bet you played that, you're going to go clutch. Yeah? I don't think anybody ever found out what that was. Some said it was mice that was down there. How did mice get down there? He said mice, they knew before the men knew that this spot was going to come in. He said it was them shoveling, causing this stuff to dribble. Mice above, you see. That's what they said anyway, used to be. Yeah. And they said the sin rats, the sin mice down there. That's no rat, but they said the sin mice. Yeah, there was so none of those down.
Well.
Of course, they've come down to Bogie.
Yes.
See it from Big Top. Yeah, the Bogie come down and out and start breeding. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they come down, they come cage, they come down on cage. Anyway, they said that. They said that's what it was, they couldn't. That's only account they could give for it. If this glass pot was going to collapse, come in, you could always hear this dribbling. You know, like somebody scaling, say, grit or something, you know. Yeah. But you couldn't see anything. That's what they said. You know, as I said, them boards just put under, up over the top.
Yeah.
It was mice was above there. They were scuffling to get out. And that was that dropping on them boards. See? Stuff.
You heard this yourself, have you?
Oh, yes, yeah. I forgot to get out. We had to get out when that happened, yeah. Yeah. You bet your life would come in. Oh, yes, it collapsed.
Presume you had to try to save as much equipment as you could.
No, you didn't bother about equipment.
No, you just went.
Oh, you're out. Oh,
it was as quick as
that. Oh, I used to get out first thing. It was something, it was a good warning. It was. I always said it was nature that gave it, but you know. Yeah. But you bet right, you eat that dribble. Called it sandy track. Sandy track. Like sand, you know.
Yes.
And called it sandy track. He said, eat that sandy track, you have to get out. Yeah. Perhaps might be 10 to quarter an hour, perhaps half an hour sometime. But it would go, it didn't go perhaps, you know. Just start going from front and then you perhaps all right away along. Just rip them big head trees. And they used to be dead trees. Oh, that went round like that. Massive things, they made trees. Just to crack them like matchwood.
Well, they had in diameter.
Eh?
They had the saw in diameter.
Oh, they were big head trees. Oh, massive, some of them. Oh, on main roads, yeah. Big forks. Ah, they were stakes. Well, it took two men to carry a head tree. On head tree, it took two men to carry on top, you know. Put them on cage to go down. Yeah, of course, what they was called it, a course of wood. Put a course of wood in. Well, you had to put a course of wood in every 3 foot. So you had to do that. If you didn't and you went wrong, you were to blame then. That was what stipulated was. You drove your iron or 3 foot, and then you put the course of wood in each time, you see.
Didn't you hear, didn't the wood used to creak and groan?
No. That's the only sign you got of a place coming in. And sometimes, I'd say, you didn't get that every time. It's the spots would come in without getting it. Oh, yes, you just might be looking to get out. Yeah. As I tell you, Victor Dunkley up here, you live up here, you know, you see the Vic Dunkley. Lockley, some call him Lockley, some Dunkley. Got in with it, you know, and he was, as I say, used to work your forebus, what they call the forebus, see, it's 8 foot, you see. 8 foot is about seven foot six, something like that, see. Well, he used to drill your top holes first, see, Jim. See, across top, and three down here. Well, then you blast, put your dynamite in, gelinite. Your jelly, they used to have gelinite, not dynamite, jellies. You put them in, and you blast them. You see, and when you got them blasted, that did you about that much on the bottom of you. You see, you got the top and the middle out, so you had to drill, bore these, hit these like bullum, you know, with gold bullum, not bullum, to lift this foot up. So you, well, when you got that up, you had to take your boards up, you see. You know your boards for your floor, your shovel on. Well, that's what happened to the Dunkley. They took the bottom up. When it finished, he Do you know John Deposit? You know John Deposit, won't you?
Yes.
John Deposit, my lad, he's dead now, he used to play soccer for Dalton Town. Well, John Dee was working with him. And John Dee said, he said, you know, I said, I heard something. He said, and I thought it was Dick. Well, he was taking the, you know, when you took, you had to make it level. So he saw your spiles sit bent, and he was taking them up underneath the fortress, like, and just, when they got the foot up, it was like straight like that, you see. Well, it says. And then they take the boards up to there before the blast, so that blast the stuff onto these boards for shoveling on, you see. Well, Vic had just got to finish this. It's all come over on it. All the four were so thumped right on top of him. Yeah. Just fell right over on him. Yeah. Well, oh, 15 ton of iron ore. Just left on face like that, come right over on him. Well, John DeVos said he still thought he'd heard something, but that couldn't be, because Scott didn't come in. He was just this big lump had come right over and buried. He was kneeling down, you see. He put his boards up, and he was right under the watch. Well, he just come over right onto him. But the door nailing him out. Yeah. Beaten up without him, big fella and all he was, that.
Yeah.
A big massive fella, Craig. You couldn't go down a mine and start working. You've got to be brought up to it. Yeah, brought up to it. I mean, as I said, we'd men come down, do a little water, put them down there. They fetched a lot of coal miners, you know, to do iron ore mining. Good war started. There's 13 coming to Nigel. And before the week up, there wasn't left, they'd gone. Wouldn't do it. Couldn't do this, they said. They were coal miners. Ooh, said, niggers wouldn't do this. They all left in less than a week. They went. Oh, there's a minute to put this. Oh, said, niggers wouldn't do this. They were coal miners. 13 come down, Nigel. Was sent drafted, you know. And Mr. Irishman come. Irishman too, one last one day. He come out of night, it's the first time I'm going down that bloody place again. Yes. It's an old mix down there. You know, you've got to be brought up to it, you know.
I suppose when you left school then, there was really only the mines all town where to go.
Of course. Goldmeyer.
Goldmeyer.
Goldmeyer, go there, the Stent Quarry. Go there, Dickie Pinks. No mind that was, we used to call Dickie Pinks. Andy Cross was working. Andy Cross used to come out on the railway, there were bogies, you know.
Yes.
And the bogies out on the railway from bottom of pit.
Tunnel coming out onto the railway.
Come on. Do you know where that big garage thing is now?
Yes.
You know, going up there towards Andy Cross. He's come out there and tip the iron ore into a wagon. And under there, you see this, that step. Because Andy Cross spits on top, like, wasn't it?
Yeah,
well, they're down, so they're sending it out there. The really bogus running out. And Tommy Carter worked. He went there for a long while. Tommy Carter, brother-in-law, bogging iron ore out of there. And Andy Cross, he was come out. And the Dickie Pinks, and the Newton Mines. Just aerial flight from Quarry. Used to go right over to the Pinks.
I can remember that, yes.
Yeah, they used to go over to the Pinks, aerial flight.
You can still see where it's been as well. Some of the concrete foundations are still there.
Ah, there isn't there, yes, yeah. No, mine is no different than anything else. It's just what you were brought up to, used to.
Yeah.
Never thought nothing about it when you went, no. Maybe give it a thought, like, you know, I said the ground that was above you, if you just come in, you just touch like that. Of course, when you got down the main roads, you knew you were clear, because that was solid rock, I couldn't come in. See? But once you got down the main road, you start branching off, and then there's tons of stuff above you. Yeah.
It wouldn't have done for me, okay.
Eh?
Wouldn't have done for me.
We dare not go no further, because being road, the ones who said, once we struck that, what they call Pissing Sound, they call it, he said, within a matter of 3 hours, He said the pit would be full. So this running sand, you couldn't stop it. It's stronger than water. Yeah, that's why we're allowed to go. We're allowed to go anywhere on shore, you know, because they went out. You see, there's a big brook there, didn't they? Have you been down Dutton? Just on this side, there, no, the mouth is down Dutton.
Yeah.
There's a big brook there, isn't there? Yeah. That's a big brook and ground.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's what the water's come out of there. That's gone in, you see.
Yeah.
But the water's come out of there. Well, that's where they come to. They have to go no further. They wouldn't have no further. They weren't allowed. Said if they ever struck that, they called it peace and sand, ever struck that, they said, there would nobody get out. Just fill the pit in water. Yeah, that's fast. Stronger than water, he said it was. Feel anything a flow in front of it.
Is this sand?
We left full, oh aye, yeah. We left full drifts of iron ore, good iron ore. There's some gophers. And the reckon, there's iron ore, right from Ronhead, right over to Millham, because Oddborough mine, iron ore mine, was over to the side of Millham, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, right in line with Nigel. And the iron ore right through. There you go.